Acts chapter 3. Peter heals the crippled beggar and then speaks to the onlookers. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us!" So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man, whom you see and know, was made strong. It is the name of Jesus and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people.' Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days, and you are the heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your forefathers. He said to Abraham, 'Through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed.' When God raised up his servant, he sent him to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways.
Well, good morning to you. I wonder if you would pray with me before I start. Father God, I do thank you for your mighty word that speaks into our lives, that instructs us and encourages us. And Father, as we turn to your word this morning, as we look at what you have to say to us, would you change our hearts? Would you transform our lives? Would you help us to know you more for it? Amen. This week, Richard and I did something very special. We booked some train tickets. Now, that might not sound very special to you, but in actual fact, Rich and I love to go to places that we've never been before on the train, because it's so relaxing just to sit there and watch the countryside go past as you go to a new place to discover. So this week, Rich and I booked tickets to go to Lincoln and Durham, and we are very much looking forward to those. But one thing you need to know about me is that I'm a really nervous traveller. It all comes from when I was leading a mission trip to Germany quite a few years ago. It took us 3 days to get to our destination because coaches broke down, most of my team got sick, we missed connections, which has made me terrible at travelling. So from then on, I had to know, well, where are we going from? What time exactly do we need to leave? Where are we going? What time exactly are we going to get there? What are our connections in between? What are the stops that we're going to pass on the way through so that I can tick them off in my head? Well, I have news for you this morning. If you're a nervous traveller like me, then I want to tell you exactly where we are going, where we have come from in our sermon series, and exactly where we're going to get to. So last term, we looked at God of mission. Do you remember that? And we journeyed all the way from the very beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, and he created us, all the way through to God's ultimate purpose, the end that we haven't even seen yet, heaven, when God draws everyone to himself. Along the way, we stopped to look at who God is, how he shows us his character as a loving God who created us to be in relationship with him, as a judge who acts with justice, as a God who, knowing we couldn't do anything on our own about our separation from him, had a rescue plan and sent Jesus to rescue us. Ultimately, we found that God is a God of mission. So what about this term? Well, this term, you will see that we are looking at people of mission. And it comes down to the fact that people of mission are people who are in relationship with God. People who know God as Lord over their lives and who join with God in his mission by sharing the good news of who he is with people who don't yet know him. And how does this cause us to act in our world? Does it cause us to act with justice? Does it cause us to act with compassion and love for our neighbours? Is our mission primarily about how we act towards others? Or is it also about the words that we say to others to tell them about God? So that's what we're going to look at for the rest of this term. And next term, just to give you a heads up, we're going to start looking at the arena of mission. But for now, this morning, we're going to start our term's work of looking at who are the people of mission. And it all starts with people who know God. Now, this might be one of the worst kept secrets because I put it in the notice sheet. But the people of mission, the people who know God, are us. Each and every one of us who are sat here, every one of our brothers and sisters in churches all over the country, all around the world, we are the people of mission. Now, you might hear that and dismiss yourself. You might think, well, I'm not a missionary. It's not my job to tell other people about Jesus. It can't be me because I'm just ordinary. I wouldn't know where to start. Well, let me tell you why you are uniquely qualified to be a person of mission. It is because you know God. Whether you've only just started to know him or whether you have known him all of your life, you know his love for you. Maybe you know the ways that he's been at work in your life. You know how God has changed you. You know that Jesus is your Lord and your Saviour. And it's really easy, I think, to get blasé about that. To think that our faith is just ordinary. Because we live it every day. And when we come to church, it just feels like that's just ordinary. That it's part of our routine. Yet for everyone who is out there, our neighbours, our colleagues, our fellow students, the strangers we pass and kind of smile at in Tesco's, for everyone who isn't sat in a church this morning, the fact that you know God is something that is extraordinary. So extraordinary that most people struggle to believe it. But when they see it, when they know someone who knows God and they see that they are different, when they see acts of kindness and grace instead of anger, when they see people whose lives have been transformed, when they see people whose lives aren't like everybody else's, because they know God, then they can believe. Then they can start to ask questions. Then they want to know for themselves what it means to know God. That is why you, ordinary you, are in fact extraordinary and are a person of mission. Because you know God, because he has transformed your life, and whether by the way you act or the things you say, you can do something extraordinary by sharing your knowledge of God with people who don't yet know him. Our text this morning is Acts 3. And if you've closed up your Bibles, I invite you to open it up again. It is page 1033. And we're going to dash around that whole chapter a little bit. So it's helpful to have it open. So we start with verse 1. And it says this: one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. One day, one ordinary, normal day. It doesn't say one day Peter and John went out so that they could do some miracles. Nor does it say one day Peter and John woke up and they knew that that day was going to be special. It just says one day. And they're doing something completely ordinary. At a normal time, 3 p.m, they're going to pray. They're going to the temple to pray. And why does the writer of Acts point out that it's 3 p.m? Well, for any devout Jew, they go to the temple at 9, at 12, and then at 3. So it was completely normal that on this normal, ordinary day, Peter and John would head to the temple at 3. It was routine, even. Now, I wonder how often we get stuck into a routine. We get up, we get dressed, we go to work, we come home, we cook dinner, we watch TV, we go to bed, we get up, we get dressed, we go to work. It's a routine. There are those days that we have that are completely and utterly ordinary. Just like this day that Peter and John had. But God breaks into the ordinary, and in it he does something extraordinary. For Peter and John, their day was completely ordinary, Yet God was at work. And we need to be ready and expectant that God will be at work in the ordinary times of our lives. God not only works in the ordinary times of our lives, but he works in ordinary people as well. Peter is one of my favourite disciples because he got everything wrong. He was the keno who always had his hand up first. Jesus, Jesus, I know the answer. And he was always the one who got it wrong. Peter was the one of faith who jumped out of the boat so that he could walk on water too. And he failed. Peter was absolutely ordinary. A fisherman. Completely ordinary. And John, who was arguably Jesus' best friend, I don't think it was necessarily because he was anything special. I think it was probably because he was just a really great guy. So on this ordinary day, with these two ordinary men, something extraordinary happens. And I wonder if you've got the point yet. Most of us are tempted to say to God, you can't use me. I'm nothing special. I don't do anything special. I'm too ordinary. But if God can work through ordinary people like Peter, then he can certainly work through any of us. Because what turns us from ordinary to extraordinary is our faith in Christ and our knowledge of God. Okay, so that was verse 1, and we've now got the rest of the chapter to get through. So I hope you're with me still. So let's continue to look from verse 2. A man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. The beggar asked for something completely ordinary, money. Yet God acted in his life in an extraordinary way. He was an ordinary man in an ordinary place who did not expect God to do anything special. But because Peter and John knew God, they acted and showed the man how extraordinary their God was. Then in verse 7, it says, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. It wasn't just the beggar who was affected by that extraordinary work of God. Everyone who saw him was filled with wonder and amazement. And I imagine that on that day, the gossipers had a great deal to talk about as they wondered, who was this God who could heal a crippled man? Through Peter and John's actions, the man was healed by God, and the whole community started to wonder about who God is. And they needed to find out more. So in verse 11 it says, while the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. And Peter sees this as a great opportunity. Now we know that Peter was a bit of a nervous talker. But despite his nerves, he sees the crowd in front of him, and because of his faith in God, he's able to speak about what he knows of God. I wonder if you've ever had one of those moments when someone asks you one of those really important questions about your faith, about who God is. I have. And I can tell you that in those moments, all I can do is pray that God will give me the right words to say. And I imagine that for Peter, that's exactly what he did. In front of a whole crowd of people who were asking questions about this God of his, He must have said a quick prayer that said, God, just give me the right words to say. Peter has a captive audience whose interest is piqued by what they have witnessed of the power of God. So he tells them about who God is and how he acted through Jesus. In verse 12, he says that God is the same God that their forefathers worshipped. In verse 15, he tells them that Jesus, who was put on the cross by them, was raised to life again by God. In verse 16, it says that it is in faith, that faith in Jesus, that means that the beggar was healed. And in verse 19, he tells them that all may repent and turn to God to have their sins wiped clean by Jesus. What we see from Peter and John is that because they know God, they do something about it. First of all, with the beggar, they've witnessed and they know that God can heal. So in Jesus' name, they command him to walk and be healed. They act out of their knowledge of God. Then they told people about who God is and how he acted through Jesus. So out of their knowledge of God, they spoke as well. So Peter and John, two ordinary men, on an ordinary day, in the middle of their ordinary routine, allow God to use them, to do the extraordinary by acting and speaking out of their knowledge of God. So what do we do about that? Do we just chalk it up to one of those great things that the disciples did? Or is it something that should challenge us to use what we know of God, to act in such a way that people see that we are different because of Christ, and to speak about the great things that God has done to those who don't know him? I know, even as I say this, that it sounds difficult. And I know that because my job is as an evangelist. It is my job to tell people who do not know about God who he is and the great things that he has done. And yet, with my family, I find that to be the most difficult thing of all. My family have been going through some stuff lately. My sister in particular had a crisis not long before Christmas. And I was so thankful that even though I find it difficult to share my faith with her, another Christian from where she lives came alongside her. She is walking alongside her at the moment and took her to an Alpha course. This is a miracle in my family. This is something that I never, ever thought would happen. And yet God has brought someone alongside my sister to tell her about who God is. And I thank God for that. I also thank God that even though my parents are the most difficult people to speak to about my faith, God has brought someone into their lives. Someone from this congregation, and I won't embarrass her by telling you who she is, but it's someone who works with my stepmom. And every day, this lady goes into her workplace and shares her faith with my stepmom. And it's not always through words. Sometimes it is just through her sheer joy that shines out of her. And it means that my stepmom is now coming to me with questions. And I praise God for that. Because although I find it difficult to share my faith with my family, God is doing extraordinary things through ordinary people so that people who do not know him would come to know him. In a moment, we're going to sing one last song. And I've chosen it, it's a beautiful one. And I've chosen it because I think it just reminds us of who God is and how mighty and wonderful and beautiful he is. And I want us to have that in our minds as we go from this place this morning. Because God is incredible, and sometimes our faith just feels ordinary. But actually, it is extraordinary. So this morning, I want to tell you that you are anything but ordinary. You are extraordinary. Because you know God, you are extraordinary. Now go. Act in such a way that people see you as different. As someone who is reflecting the character of God. Someone who is living a changed life because of Jesus. And tell them, please tell them, what you know of God. Because in this way, God will be able to do something extraordinary through you.